My name is Michelle Owu. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One and Other project. The date today is the 19th of August 2009 and time is now 6:24 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Yes, I'm called Susan Mary Jones. I'm 58 years old and I come, well, originally from the Manchester area, but I live in Beaconsfield, Buckinghamshire.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine, thank you very much.
What prompted the move to Beaconsfield?
Well, I met Rod, who's now my husband, and he lived there. So I went to live with him, and then we got married, and I've lived there ever since.
Could you just describe briefly the place where you live, the area?
Well, Beaconsfield is a small town, but benefits from a very good rail network into London, which is why the house prices are quite elevated.
They're
quite elevated, but it's a very pleasant place because it's on the edge of the countryside, so you've got nice areas to walk, but you know, half an hour into central London is just fantastic. So it's very convenient, and I fear we may never leave, although I would like to live by the seaside, actually. Yes, I would. I don't mind, and this is still under discussion. So, you know, I think we're at a time of life where you have to look a few years ahead and just think, you know, as we approach retirement, you know, what might we want to do? And obviously a lot of received wisdom is that in retirement you shouldn't suddenly up sticks and go somewhere else completely different, but we'll see. That's under discussion, as I said.
And are you working at the moment?
No, I'm not working now. No, I've worked actually most of my life with one job or another, apart from when I had children, which in those days you didn't work as much as women do now. And I actually gave up work eventually to look after my mother, who'd become rather elderly and needed a lot of help. But she died in January this year, so I seem to have managed to find lots of other things to do since then. And I'm things like this. It's been fantastic just really to have the time to invest in, for example, practicing the Tai Chi ready to do this, which, you know, I just knew instantly as soon as I thought, what would I do? Oh, I would like to practice my Tai Chi, because I never get around to practicing. And I just thought to have a whole hour to myself would be really great. So it's very nice not to have to work. I mean, one becomes time rich and cash poor, but that's probably worth it.
How long have you been doing Tai Chi?
Well, I think it must be getting on for 2 years, probably 2 years this September, since we first went to a class. It's my husband was the principal driver, I have to say, not myself. And we tried two different classes. I think with Tai Chi it is important to find a class that you're very comfortable in, because it is quite a different thing to do, and it involves sometimes contact with other people, and, you know, I mean physical contact with other people. So we tried one or two things and sort of weren't really getting on that well. And then he said to me, look, can you find us a private teacher? And that was really the gateway to the whole thing. And so we found a really lovely lady called Kathy, who's been teaching us ever since, probably for about a year now. But because of the situation with my mother, I was never 100% focused on it like my husband was. And he's made massive strides. I can't tell you, I don't know how much you want me to talk about this, but it's been so interesting to see how two people who are married and live together and share everything together just are so completely different when it comes to learning something like Tai Chi, which is obviously a series of moves. It's a physical thing. I mean, we already knew that we are very different in terms of our whole perception of life. I'm very much a detailed person and a process person, and he's very much a big picture person. So when it comes to learning something like Tai Chi, he was absolutely obsessed with the idea of getting to the end of the 74 moves, the 74 steps of this particular form which we're learning, which is the Chen style, Lao Jia, old frame it's called. Whereas I was finding that I couldn't move on until I'd got each move absolutely perfect. Anyway, we've sort of resolved it. He sort of knows it to the end and generally sort of manages to get there. And really because of this, I've started absolutely focusing much more and have managed to get to more or less halfway through these 74 moves. So that's what I'll be practicing on the plinth. It does tend to desert one at times. You suddenly think, although however well you know anything, perhaps that's what happens. But still, it'll be very interesting to. So that's where we are with the Tai Chi, and I know that we obviously one is forever a student. I think even our teacher continues to learn different forms of Tai Chi and it's different styles, and it's just incredible. And then the other thing that's linked with it, which I'm going to do, is the Qigong, which is slightly more static and exercise based, but is a really interesting it's a discipline, and it's just incredible in the way that it gives you focus, it gives you energy, you know, and Tai Chi as well gives you balance and posture. I just think it's something that really everybody can benefit from. Do you want me to carry on talking about Tai Chi? Because I can carry on forever.
Do you think it's something that you would have taken up if your husband hadn't have also been interested in learning?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm always game for a new thing, but I'm not sure whether I would have taken it up at that time. But I've sort of forgotten now, really. I mean, we're always looking for things to do together. I think, you know, that's the nice thing. We tend to have hobbies in common, so... I think we just had talked about it, and we started yoga together years ago, and we kayak together and that kind of thing. So I think we just were glad to find something that we both enjoyed.
Just coming back to this project, can you remember how you first heard about it?
Well, I think I must have heard a clip on the radio, I think. Because I can't imagine I would have had an email from anywhere, although I do get lots of emails from a variety of different things. But I believe, and I think I would have pricked up my ears at the mention of Anthony Gormley, because, as I said in the piece I wrote for the website, I'd never heard of Anthony Gormley until my daughter went to university in Newcastle. And I saw the Angel of the North, because obviously if you're driving up from the south into Newcastle, you know, see it, and it's so striking. And then coincidentally, one of the weekends, because I spent quite a lot of very fun weekends in Newcastle with both my daughter and my son, who was in university in Dundee at the time, who had come down at the Baltic on just the Gateshead side of the river, they had Domain Field, and all three of us went to see that, and I was just amazed. It was just so captivating, I think. I really loved it. And so I've always sort of been interested in what he does. And I haven't actually been to see any of his other artistic works. I'd love to see the thing on the beach, but I don't often get this. That's in Crosby, I think, isn't it? I haven't actually been up there. But I think as soon as I heard that he had got this project, and then having seen the previous things on the plinth, obviously, because we don't come to London a lot, but I had seen the other things on the plinth, it just all just said to me, that's it, you know, you must apply. So, and I just knew straight away that if I got a place, which I honestly didn't think I would, that's what I would do. I would practice the Tai Chi.
How did you feel when you had the place?
I was really thrilled to bits. And normally I'm a person who gets very nervous, and you know, in various of my iterations of my life and my jobs, you know, I have suffered greatly from nerves, but it never occurred to me to be nervous or anything. I just thought it would just be a fantastic experience. I mean, as I said before, you know, I'm always up for something new, and I think perhaps, you know, the more you go through life, the more you think, well, you've got to grab these opportunities while they come along. So I just thought it was a fantastic thing to do, and I was thrilled to bits when I got, you know, got the call, as it were. And plus, I was so lucky. I mean, 7 p.m, you know, it's just dream time. I don't think I would have refused it if it had been 2 o'clock in the morning there. I think I would have still gone for it.
What's been the reaction of your family and friends?
well, they're very supportive. I think a lot of them think I'm mad, and It's, I think some of them think it's a slightly strange thing to want to do, but I mean, they all think it's terrific, and it's sort of gathered momentum, I think, like these things do. When you first say about it, it seems a long time off, but I mean, now, you know, and I do apologise for the phone ringing earlier, but you know, I'm sure there's like loads of people trying to phone me up at the last minute to wish me good luck, not realising that you know, I'm sort of already a machine, as it were.
So just picking up on something that you mentioned there, you said you're quite a nervous person in some ways. How does that manifest itself, and in what situations does that happen?
Well, when I was in a sales management role, I used to have to stand up in front of quite large groups of people, and the worst thing about it was I was in publishing, and in publishing, certainly what we were selling, we never really knew exactly what was going to be published. We were always trying to teach people about it before it happened. So I think part of the problem was I was never 100% sure of my ground, and I always knew I would be sort of heckled. So I think there was, you know, I did feel nervous then, but I did come to realise, actually, and Rod helped me a lot with this, that that probably was not really the best job for me, and that goes back to what I was telling you about the being a sort of process person and a detail person. And once I started to work with him in various companies that took us over and got taken over, etc., you know, I found a totally different sort of career and ceased to be a nervous person. It was really interesting.
And you're not nervous about going upon the plane?
I'm not, actually. It's weird, isn't it? No, I'm looking forward to it. I wish I could get out there, actually. But still, not long now.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Well, I've lived quite a checkered life and had quite a lot of different experiences. Some of them, I mean, quite sad, basically. But I've had a huge amount of fantastic opportunities and done some wonderful things and seen some wonderful places. So, you know, I think I'm just the sort of person who just will deal with what comes along. And if it's bad, then I deal with it and say, okay, fine, that's done with. Let's move on to the next thing. I'm definitely a mover on. I'm definitely not a wallower in the guilt, grief, bitterness, whatever. So that's probably my main characteristic. I think I'm quite logical in, and that probably also goes to the process kind of thing. So I think I kind of just look for a solution to a problem. And sometimes, I mean, at one particularly desperate moment in my life, somebody said to me, "Sue, you're too logical." And I thought, how can you be too logical? But anyway, I think that's probably would be a characteristic of me. And I try and be optimistic. And I think I'm a bit bossy. In fact, lots of people would tell me I'm very bossy. But anyway, apart from that, I just always try my best as well. I think, you know, I'm definitely a glass half full person rather than a glass half empty person.
What's important to you in your life at the moment, would you say?
Well, I think I'm at the stage where family is probably the most important thing, because between Rod and me, we've got four children. He's got two who are married and producing children, grandchildren for him, step-grandchildren for me, so I'm really proud of my step-grandchildren. And my two are not quite into their 30s. Actually, my daughter was 27 the other day, and my son will be 29 at the end of the month. And they are just great to be with. As I said before, we had loads of fun. We went to Newcastle. They're doing loads of interesting things. And so, you know, I think that's my focus at the present time. And now I don't have my mother to look after, because I mean, she really was a full-time job up right until the end. So, you know, I'm sure she would appreciate the fact now that I've, you know, having devoted that time to her then, I've got time to devote to these, you know, the sort of the next generation and the next generation after that. It's lovely, it's so lovely.
What are your kids studying?
Oh, well,
once you've done D.
No, that was a while back. Though they finished. No, my son spent 5 years in Dundee not getting a degree, sadly, but he's very happy now. I think he was very happy in Dundee, actually, but he's now a carpenter and builder, so he's a very useful chap to have around, just since he's very large and good looking and strong. In fact, he carried a fridge out of my house with his bare arms last night, so that was quite funny. And my daughter has a very high powered job in retail consultancy. So she's gutted she can't be here tonight because she's on an aeroplane coming back from Hanover. But still, so she whizzes around the world doing retail, well, hopefully helping retail to improve itself.
And what do you like to do when you get some time to yourself?
Well, I'm a student of languages. I mean, that was my original discipline. And so I don't know why, I always find the need to study some sort of language or another. Spanish is my current one. But I love gardening as well, and that's another thing that my husband and I share. So we are busily, in fact, I'm pretty much a farmer's wife at the moment. So in this suburban Beaconsfield garden, we've got all sorts of vegetables. And this is, of course, the time when, I mean, really at this moment, I should be putting the runner beans in the freezer and making the courgettes into something useful. So I'll probably have to do that tomorrow once this is over. I've got a whole list. I've got a list that says post-plinth projects.
What sort of other things are on your list?
A bit of tidying out here, there and everywhere, you know, just gardening and then getting ready for holiday. We're going on holiday.
Where are you going to go?
Spain. Yeah, we have a place out there.
Is it where you've been learning
Spanish? Well, sort of, except when you get there, actually where we are, everybody's English mainly. But I just like the language part of things. I just really like it. So I just speak French. I don't have a problem with French. So that's why I was a French teacher originally. So, and that's never left me. I'm very lucky in that respect. So French just is like another language. But Spanish has been a bit more of a challenge. But I'm thinking perhaps I should move on to something else or have another go at German or something. But I love going to Spain and I love speaking when I'm there, but that's not principally why I started to learn it.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I'm sure everybody says that, but you know, it's so thrilling to be a part of something that is well organised. It's just something that so many people can share, that and that's the wonder of the internet. I mean, obviously, you know, I come from a generation where, you know, before the internet was invented, and it's just amazing what you can do with it. And you know, so many people around the world, I sent my email, you know, saying this is my time, here's the website, here's this. And I know there are people in America, there are people in Canada, there are people in France, there are people in Spain, you know, there are people all, I mean, not quite all over the world, but, you know, and that's a really fantastic thing. So, thank you for the opportunity to do that. And it's fantastic also that when you do something like this, it puts you back into touch with people that perhaps you, I mean, they're on your Christmas card list, but you don't necessarily talk to them, you know, like my friend who's in the top 10 of the Fabulous at Over 50 competition and stuff like that I wouldn't have known about. So, you know, I mean, just is good. It's really nice.
Thank you very much indeed.